You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1450.
And what you're looking for when you're looking for a big deal is the exact same thing that you look for when you're looking for smaller deals, which is motivation. And I think a lot of people, Brent, don't believe that people with money don't have problems, you know? But these people...
More money, more problems.
Yeah, that's right, man. Like, seriously, I mean, you can find some really serious problems. All the bigger deals that I've bought have been from some form of motivated seller.
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
Welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I'm your host today, Brent Bowers, and today I have a veteran land shark. Justin Foster is his name, and this guy's out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's thinking big. He's doing what he calls bigger magnitude deals. Today, he's going to walk you through, you know, how he was buying packages of houses, and he's also going to walk us through step-by-step on how he did a roughly $2 million profit land deal that he's still involved in, all with private money, including no banks. And I love his outlook and how he looks at this business. You know, he says it's all God's money, or it's all God's land, actually. It's all God's land. I too personally believe it's all God's money as well. But I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did interviewing Justin. This has been a long time coming. I'm so thankful he reached out, kind of gave me an update on what was going on, and let's do a podcast, man. So enjoy this episode, Rhino Nation. Let's get right into it. Justin Foster, welcome to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Brent. Thank you for having me on. Loving it. Loving life. It's good.
Yeah. Well, good to have you. You know, tell Rhino Nation a little bit about yourself in like 30 to 60 seconds.
Well, listen, I'm a rhino. I've been working with Tom Kroll, who started this whole gig and kicked it off for about 4 years now. And we did a wholesale company here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, doing seven figures for a few years between 2020 and 2022. Did flip a bunch of houses, found a bunch of deals. And I've since moved on to doing fewer, bigger deals, Brent.
Fewer, bigger deals. That's worth repeating. Fewer, bigger deals. Sometimes the volume is not worth it. I love it. That's music to my ears. That's the season I'm in right now, is less is more. 10X is easier than 2X.
That's so interesting that that's the case. And, you know, we really enjoy just the real estate game. But when you can have a lot more eggs in one basket, get a lot more magnitude off that one deal, as opposed to grinding it out off of all these smaller deals, it's fun, man. It's fun to kind of, I liken it to deep sea fishing versus, you know, bass fishing on land. I love to deep sea fish, and, you know, it's fun to get hooked up with a big one.
Oh yeah. It's a fight. It's definitely a fight sometimes. And sometimes it's a fight with the big ones, the big fish out in the ocean. But sometimes I find the bigger deals, they're not as difficult. Sometimes yeah. It's just like there's less emotion involved, but let's jump more into that a little later in the podcast. I'd love to know, you know, kind of the backstory. How'd you get started, Justin? Like, where did you come from? What were you up to? You know, what was your first real estate deal?
Yeah, my first real estate deal, I was working my W-2. It was a rental property. And I was hooked on this idea that I'm going to build my own rental property portfolio and then live off the income. So my journey into real estate was to achieve financial independence with rental income. And working my W-2 as a side hustle, I bought that first one. And actually, my second deal was a package of 10 houses.
So nice. So you went big quick.
Yeah, I did. And it was an accident. You know, I thought, well, this is a little easier than buying one at a time. I think there's a lot of wisdom in buying one at a time, right? You can't go wrong with that advice. And at the end of the day, like buying a bigger deal is just a tool in your tool belt, just like anything else. And so I'm not going to say it's the end all be all for everybody, but for me and how I got started on my journey early on, that really stepped up my game. And this side hustle became a real business. Within a couple of years, I had quit my job, started a wholesale company to go and source the deals. And my purpose of running that wholesale company was really to be cherry picking off of it. But you'll know this, Brent, when you're running a wholesale company, You know, we had a couple of acquisitions managers, a disposition manager, a leads manager, and you have to kind of feed the machine, right? So treating your business like it's its own asset, you really can't be cherry picking that hard. And how I built the rest of the portfolio with my partner, Joel, is by buying packages, more packages of single family homes, because that worked, you know, the first time that I did it. So we found a few more, a package of duplexes that we took down. That was a great deal. And then a package of 47 houses that we took down. And we made more money in terms of our net worth growing off of buying these large packages of single family houses than buying, you know, wholesaling or flipping over 100 houses a year.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'd love to, if you could break that down, because we've got some land sharks as well that they look for owners that have, you know, 10 or more parcels of land, and they take care of the entire inventory. And that's a huge value add if you could sell to one person all 10 or more properties rather than 10 different separate closings and transactions. It's just so much easier to do it all at once. So, you know, how do you source those deals where it's packages? How are you finding those?
I just let everybody know that I'll buy it all. You know, you just got to tell them up front, like, hey, do you have anything else that you're willing to sell? Would you be willing to sell it all as a package? There's not many people out there that are telling sellers, I want it all. And if you can take, the treasure with the trash, especially if you kind of have the skill of being able to wholesale or find buyers, then, you know, you can buy more than you need and then sell the stuff that you don't need and end up in the piece that's really good for you. And that's really great strategy, right? It's buy more than you need, you know, sacrifice some of it or get rid of some of the stuff that you don't really want and keep the stuff that you want.
So how are you marketing? Are you doing like pay-per-click or just mass mailing, or like what's your marketing strategy?
You know, when we were hot and heavy on the wholesale side, we were doing a whole bunch of things, right? So we were sending mail, we were doing PPC online, we were on the radio, we had TV ads going.
Oh, nice.
But as we moved into these bigger deals, that was a very small list of people. So I pulled a list of, you know, maybe I can just kind of let you guys in on how to find these deals, because when you're hunting for the bigger magnitude deals, there's less people out there that own multiple properties like that. So you could go onto your county assessor and you can see and search for a curated list of people who own 4+ properties. That could be vacant land. That could be, you know, land at a certain size, right? So Brent, maybe it's anything over 5 or 10 acres could be a curated list in the counties that you're looking for. And then that might only be a list of, you know, 200-300 people. Yeah. So my goal off that list is to call them, to send them handwritten letters, and to get them to lunch. So I just want to get to know you. That's it. That's my goal.
I like that. Yeah, so you're not even coming with an offer. You want to meet, wine, dine, create the relationship.
Yeah, it's built on the relationship. People will do these deals based on the relationship. And
that's true. I had a guy in 2016 sold me 4 houses. And it took me a year to do that. And we built a relationship. We actually stayed in partnership on one of the triplexes, that's so true. Like, and we had multiple lunches together. I forgot about that. That's amazing.
So you just want to be yourself. And if anything, you can, you know, sit down with somebody who has been in the game for a long time and learn, right? And you kind of approach those lunches with curiosity and interest. You know, I mean, these people who have been doing this for decades, they might have, you know, some gold to give to you. So it's a win-win thing. I mean, nobody's going to turn down a free lunch. And then you want to, you know, say, be a confident buyer and say, hey, I'm a person that can buy everything if you're interested in selling. And those people aren't getting those offers all day long. They're getting offers, you know, text messages. Hey, do you want to sell your house?
Yeah.
This address that just went vacant. And
very cold.
It's pretty annoying to them. But when you show up as a genuine buyer that is interested in their story, a lot of times there's this feeling of, you know, they've had the baton for a long time. When you buy kind of a package or a large deal like that, they're kind of passing the baton off to you. So if you have that relationship, that's kind of the feel that it is.
I love that. So walk me through going with the county, because I find that every county, I mean, there's over 3,300 counties in the United States, and they're not all created equal. is there an easy, like a way, like we're always looking for the easy button, the faster and more expedient way. And it doesn't sound, I mean, you're not taking the easy route because you're building the relationships. You know, is that something I can go on like PropStream or ListSource or Batch and search landowners with multiple parcels, kind of like we do with the cash buyers? Like we search for cash buyers that have owned multiple parcels of land or houses. Is there an easier way to do it, or do we have to go directly to the county?
Well, any data from the county is going to be better data. I got to tell you, Britt, I don't really know. I had my VA, like, just go pull this list. I said, this is what I want. You know, I need 4+ owners. And he pulled it directly from the county. I'm sure that PropStream has the tech. I'm not a tech guy, man. Yeah. I don't know how these lists necessarily get pulled because I'm not behind the scenes.
As far as I love I get that. List, that's even better.
I kind of take it from there. So I'm sorry that I can't give away, but it's not as hard as you would think. And, you know, the harder that it is to get in principle, the more profitable that it would be. And you
so
want
agree.
The best data
so
that you can
agree.
Possibly get.
I so agree. The counties that we had to literally go down there and get it, and that was the only way, is at the absolute best data. Because, like, for instance, people used to be able to pay the back taxes and bid on these properties at the county, you know, on the courthouse steps. But these counties that have moved to the, you know, the online services, it's an online bid, anybody in the world can now bid on these properties. So it's like, oh, that's gone now. I'm never going to compete on that ever again. You mentioned something too, just doing fewer but bigger deals. Is that part of the package, or is there something else that you were alluding to in the beginning of the conversation?
I became a shark while I was doing this, right? The wholesaling game. And we did a few smaller land deals, and that was great. And from there though, okay, so I'm like marketing for these packages, and I'm thinking, what do I want to try and target from a land perspective? In my area, there's a pathway of growth. There's a pretty focused area that I wanted to be able to buy. And we started, you know, marketing to more of the pathway of development to larger tracts of land. And I ended up basically kind of stumbling on this deal. It was one of my neighbors down here outside of Oklahoma, and that estate needed to liquidate. And what you're looking for when you're looking for a big deal is the exact same thing that you look for when you're looking for smaller deals, which is motivation. And I think a lot of people, Brent, don't believe that people with money don't have problems, you know? But these people...
More money, more people. Problems.
Yeah, that's right, man. Like, seriously, I mean, you can find some really serious problems. All the bigger deals that I've bought have been from some form of motivated seller. You know, they're going through a divorce. They just got married and they were just like a tired landlord. And in this situation, I found a land deal that was 200 acres that was development land, and the estate needed to liquidate. And, you know, there was an issue basically with the heirs of the estate, and it was contentious. Let's just say that.
Define contentious, like, because that's a big word. That's a million dollar word.
Yeah, there was, you know, one person was suing one person, and they just needed to get the money out of the assets, right? And it's all tied up in this land and everything. So nothing was going to get resolved until it got liquidated. So we come along, and I didn't have the money to buy this, but there was two tracts of land. One was 95 acres. The other one was 106 acres right down the road from each other. And, you know, she kind of told us her price and the executor of the estate, and we negotiated a little bit, but we ended up taking that down. It was like $3 million. And I didn't have $3 million when I sent her the offer, but I knew it was a deal. I knew that was a deal. And within 60 days,
it's like no brainer. You're like, this is an absolute no brainer.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how often that comes around in real estate if we look for those every single day.
Yeah. And also, I think there was this perspective that I was given. I say I was given it because that's how it feels to me, is that this is my view. It's all God's land. It doesn't belong to you. And you have to be willing to be a receiver in order to be a giver. So that's kind of like a bigger principle here. We're kind of talking about this finite game of how to do deals and all this stuff. But there's a bigger thing going on where I think as you approach these deals as if you want to help people, don't limit yourself into how much you might be able to help somebody else and what might be given to you to be a good steward of, and then turn around and add value later. And so, you know, with that in mind, I just kind of took it on faith that I can execute on this deal. We found the $3 million in private money. We didn't go to a bank. We closed in 60 days. And, you know, with one of those deals, it was 95 acres. We sacrificed that one, decided to sell it to another developer. He closed on it 6 months later. So we bought it for $1.25 million. And then we sold it 6 months later, didn't even mow it, for $2.3 million.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about a second deal.
No, this is the same deal. So there's 200 acres total. Okay.
Right.
Two different parcels.
Two parcels.
We bought it as a package of two parcels.
Right. Of 201 acres total.
And then I sold half of it, 95.
All right. 95 and 106.
Yeah.
Got it.
So then I kept the 106. And that was a really big hit. It was kind of the bird in the hand to be able to take and flip that for, I think we made about $950,000 off of that piece. Without doing anything to it. We didn't entitle it. We didn't change the zoning or anything like that.
Incredible. That's my kind of deal right there. I don't like to entitle them. I don't like to subdivide them. I don't build roads. Mm-hmm. I've mulched a little bit. Like, we sent a mulcher in to do some little mulching of vines and whatnot. And don't cut down trees. So, all right. So you bought the whole thing for $3 million. And I just want to make sure I'm 100% following here for anybody driving that's not taking notes like me. So what did you sell the 95 acre parcel for?
2.3 million.
So you have what, 700,000 left?
And 106
acres. Holy cow. I'm sitting here doing the math here. So you only owe, you only have your partners or your lenders. Were they all private lenders or were these partners?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I didn't have any money in this deal myself. So
even better.
But what I did was I structured it so that it was like an 80-20 split. 20% to the private lender, 80% to us.
That's so beautiful.
We
so
put them in.
No payments, nothing. They're an equity owner.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think a lot of folks would split it the other way, right? You just say like 50-50 or, you know, 60-40. And a lot of times the general partner gets, you know, the smaller portion of that. But in this situation, since we found a really great deal, we could secure their debt and we could show them, hey, this is worth like double as it is.
Yeah.
And triple if we were to just subdivide, you know, on large tracts. So he felt really safe. And if you can provide security to private lenders, then you can get really great terms. So really and truly, I probably could have not given any equity away, but it's like my friend told me, you know, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. You don't want to be a hog. And when there's a big enough piece of pie, you want to make sure that you can share it. And that person, you know, has since done and keeps quite a bit of money at work with us because he trusts us, because he knows us, and because he's made like a good return.
And he loves you. He loves you.
Yeah, man, he's one of my best friends. Yeah.
Rich people with lots of money, guess what they want more of?
Yeah.
More money.
Well, and honestly, they want to do that with people who treat their money like their own money. And so it's not to say that I didn't have skin in the game eventually. Eventually, I put a lot of skin in the game on that development deal. And I did put in some roads and that sort of thing. And, you know, we're kind of getting, it is harder, Brent, though. If I knew what I know now about developing land, I might would have just subdivided this differently or just flipped this off. But, you know, I'm kind of learning about how to develop land. And, you know, that's another tool in the tool belt. So,
yeah. Well, what'd you do with the 106? So you put some roads in, did you subdivide it? And
I zoned it back. It was a high density development and I zoned it from high density to like more of a ranchette flip. So the tracts are anywhere from 2 to 18 acres. Before I did any development, I pre-sold the big lots to some people. And there was a commercial corner on this that I also sold to somebody. So before, you know, within a short amount of time, we had gotten free and clear on that property. So now it's just kind of gravy. And I'm, you know, prolonging how quickly I'm selling the rest of the lots just based on.
So you still own some,
taxes.
Even though that you've gotten all the money back.
Yeah, like all the debt is paid off and, you know, the infrastructure is in there. But I don't want to just sell out at this point from a tax standpoint. So there's some taxes that go into it, but that doesn't matter. Basically, developing, when you decide to develop a piece of dirt and you're going to put in a road, count on like 2-3 years of doing that. Like, you know what I mean? If it's a bigger tract, it's just the way it goes. You know, entitlement takes time. Putting the infrastructure takes time. You're beholden to utility companies and that sort of thing. So I'm going back to what you said, which is, I love to just mulch it and sell it. That's a great idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? I agree with you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes the most I do is I send drone photography. We take pictures and video. You know, that's a day's work in the land business, the Brent Bowers land business. I like to keep it simple because I got into this for lifestyle freedom. It wasn't to develop and build roads and build houses and infrastructure and underground utilities and horizontal construction and vertical. It's just like, if I just said things that Rhino Nation, you're like, what the heck is all that? It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. We don't have to know any of that to buy and flip a piece of dirt. You know, so about how many acres do you have left, Justin? And like, what do you think your net profit's going to be? Just give me a conservative number.
Yeah, the net profit should land at 1.7 on that one. And so how much do we have left? We only have the 2-acre and a few 5-acre tracts left. So I don't even know. I have like, I've sold almost all of it at this point.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And how did you find this deal? You might've said it, but you got to say it again. Like, what did you do to get this deal?
On this deal, I actually knew the landowner. They're a neighbor. And it was a relationship I've been cultivating for a few years. I would help them out at their property, kind of maintain their property. So I live kind of on the edge of the suburbs where it gets country, but it's in this pathway of development. And took me like 3 years to do that deal. And I didn't even expect to be able to buy that, honestly. I just wanted to, I hunted this land at one point. So I had a lease on it. And, you know, that's what I thought. I was just grateful to kind of be part of the story. And lo and behold, it became a whopper for us. So,
man, I love it. Big fish caught by another land shark. Justin, that's phenomenal. You know what? Let me go ahead and get the victory bell. So about 1.7 million is going to be your net profit.
1.7 on the one and then 9 on the other. So I guess that's like 2.5. I don't know what that is. 2.5.
So you're going to make over $2 million on one land deal. That, now, granted, you've been working this deal for many years.
Yeah.
So, you know, $500,000 a year is pretty good payday, I think. Even if you worked it for 4 years, built that relationship, you hunted it, so you got some benefit from it. Like, that's amazing.
You don't have to do many of them, you know?
That's amazing. Here we go. Victory bell, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah. Coming from a real rhino.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's been some deals where it's like, you know, how are we going to get this done? And you, I think you said it best right there. It's all God's land and it's all God's money. It really is. Mm. You know, it's his money. We've got to be great stewards of it. And, you know, just show your hand, you know, come to these money partners, these lenders, and tell them what you got. And they're really investing in you. They really are. It's you. The deal helps, and you want to do your best to make sure that you put margins of safety and protectors in for your lenders or your partners. You know, it's like we buy our lender's title insurance policy. Like, we make sure that we're buying the land deal, you know, with enough value. If God forbid a lot of things went wrong, we can at least pay the lender back, because us as the investor, we're the last person to be paid usually. Mm-hmm. And we should. We're the one putting the deal together. So, man, just having the faith and walking out on that ledge. And you remind me of a land deal that it slipped out from on my fingertips that I should have, you know, taken advantage of the relationships, not in a sleazy way. I've been building the relationship for many, many years with this lady. And it was a time in my life when I could have bought that land, and I had other things going on. And I just didn't take that leap of faith, which I should. Like, sometimes we look back on the opportunities that we miss, but there's so many other opportunities as well. So I'm glad that you took it. And it sounds like it's going to pay dividends for a while. And man, what would you say to someone just like getting started, or maybe even wrestling with the fear? I'm sure there were so many fears.
Yeah. So I didn't know about entitlements. I didn't know about zoning. I didn't know a lot of things. And there is something to be said about finding somebody that knows. So make sure you cover your, if you're going to do big deals, make sure you've got a coach that's going to cover your blind spots. And I would tell you that, especially if it's a big deal. because you don't want to go out there willy-nilly and potentially get hurt on something, truly. So I had coaches, I had mentors looking over my shoulder, and they were like analyzing the numbers. They were poking holes in it. And that was going on in the background. So that's something to know. And then the second thing to know is that you don't have to know it all. And there's something to be said about the skill of just finding the deal. I think that's what we're talking about. If that's your skill and that's what you're good at, finding people who need to sell, don't limit yourself on, you know, the magnitude that you can do at all. So be open to the idea that this could be a seven-figure deal that you're looking for. And you never know. And once you get a big one on the line, get some help in getting it to the boat.
Man, I love it. I love the fishing analogies. And, you know, it makes me think of Matthew 6:34, when you say that we don't need to know all the answers. And that's been a huge thing in my life. Like, I don't need to know everything. I just need to know enough to get through today. Enough to say, okay, this looks like a no-brainer deal. But, you know, Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. You know, each day has enough trouble of its own. And I take that to like, okay, we're just going to worry about today, worry about this deal right now, and the answers will come tomorrow. There's never been a piece of land we couldn't sell, ever. That's right. Never, ever, ever. And I love that you also use another analogy, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. You don't have anything. I've also heard there's a pig for every barn as well, AKA you could sell every piece of land. But all these farming and fishing analogies, Justin Foster, God bless you, man. Thanks for being on the Rhino Nation Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I know you've been a rhino for a long time and a land shark for many years as well. Thanks for being a go-giver today and sharing all these great gold nuggets.
Blessed, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, man. And hey, Rhino Nation, right now, I want you to take action today. I want you to go to wholesalinginc.com/land. That's wholesalinginc.com/land. Take action. Fill out that application. You will get a phone call. That's how you schedule a phone call. And, you know, here's what happens. It's like you start taking action like Justin did. Like, I mean, gosh, just be decisive. Very successful people never ask for permission for anything. We have to ask for a lot of forgiveness sometimes, but we don't ask for permission. We just do things. We take action. We're decisive. You know, start building your future today. Even if you have the W-2 job, just like I did, just like Justin did. I haven't had a real job since 2018. How long has it been since you've had a real job, Justin?
2020. I've been at it for 4 years.
Been the best ride ever, man.
Yeah.
4 years. I've been six. I can't believe. Yeah, just choosing my own schedule. When I was in the military, I literally had to like beg to take a day off or take leave or fill out an application. It was crazy. It was like filling out a bank application to take leave in the military. Until next time, Rhino Nation, God bless.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.